Well, it still has that slightly unique factor. The Southeast Asia is quite a well-trodden path, but Korea still has that slight culture shock, and that is now starting to appeal to many travelers. And it also, the awareness of Korea has grown. It's become actually quite a trendy destination with what we call Hallyu, which is the contemporary wave of Korean culture that has spread beyond just its regional neighbors, but has actually gone worldwide. So we're seeing an uplift in interest in our destination. But Korea itself is quite a diverse country. I mean, we have 17 ski resorts, which people really don't think that that would be something that they would come across in South Korea. We're going to be hosting the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics. We have 20 national parks, a very rugged coastline, but in places quite a beautiful coastline where people can go and relax. And as I mentioned, it's quite a unique culture that Korea has, and that's interspersed with these 21st century mega cities. So, it really does cover all bases for travelers that are going to Korea.
Tell us about some of the culture then, because some people's maybe only experience would be a certain pop star had a global hit a couple of years ago. So I'm sure there's other aspects of Korean culture you'd much rather talk about. What if somebody wants a really different experience, wants to immerse themselves in it, what would they go for?
I mean, there's 12 UNESCO World Heritage sites that stretch back to, for example, the Silla dynasty. So there's this very gentle and cultural oriental feeling when you go to Korea. There's a number of major temples that you can visit. There's palaces that are sort of juxtaposed against the these high-rise buildings within Seoul. There's a fantastic cuisine within the country, and each region has different specialities. There's a particular dish that an area called Jeonju is famous for called bibimbap, which is mixed rice and vegetables. And initially it was a peasant food, but obviously has become something that is the staple diet, especially during lunchtime. It's a very easy dish to cook and very healthy as well.
I think a lot of people, if they think of Korea, will think of Seoul and they'll think of a really high-tech place, lots of skyscrapers, some of that's full of technology. If you don't want that, if you want to go to the countryside and immerse yourself in a very different experience, are there places to head for?
Absolutely. I mean, as I said, there are 20 national parks, and within some of these national parks, you can actually do a temple stay. And I've done this a few times myself, and it really is an amazing experience. And it's not a touristic thing, it's actually being invited into the monk's domain. It's usually hidden away in a very beautiful natural location, and you go in and you do what the monks do. So you'll get up at 3:30 a.m. for the prayer ceremony. Then you'll go and have a food ceremony. You may do some meditation, but it's an absolutely fantastic way to get away from today's hectic world. But you completely immerse yourself in this Buddhist culture. And it really is a special thing. And whether or not you want to do it for more than one night, I don't know. But certainly, it adds to a holiday to Korea.
And what about some activities, sort of man-made, if you like, entertainment? So are there any attractions in the country that people will go for?
Yeah, there are. I mean, we have some a number of theme parks. There's also a number of themed parks that you can find, for example, on Jeju Island. I think they have a dinosaur park. There are various train journeys that you can make that crisscross the country, from just doing it on a normal express train through to a luxury train called Heirang. So, there's lots of different ways to enjoy the country, whether it be, as you said, a man-made kind of attraction, right through to just enjoying the nature that you come across.
Have you got any sort of seaside areas, any holiday resort places?
Yeah, the biggest island off the south coast is called Jeju Island. It's a volcanic island, but on the south side, there's a bit of a man-made resort where it's sandy beaches, five-star hotels, and we kind of say to people that, you know, once you've been to the megacity of Seoul, you've gone down to another area called Gyeongju, which is the cultural heart of the country, and it's the old Silla capital. The whole area has been designated by UNESCO as a World Heritage Site. So you've done the cultural bit, you've done the city and the nightlife and the shopping of Seoul. We then advise people to go across to Jeju Island, and, you know, that gives them time just to relax and have that mix between, you know, all the different adventures they've had in one holiday.
What about the language? Because I guess if you go to France or to Germany, for that matter, or anywhere with a Latin-based language, you can have a guess at some things. It might be somewhat bewildering for people looking at Korean. Is it okay if you don't speak Korean?
Well, this is the thing. We've kind of ticked the box for that one, because a lot of the signs are in English and Korean. But above and beyond that, we created a telephone number, 1330, that you can call from any call box. It's a free number. And you go through to an English-speaking operator, so you can ask them about any touristic question you have. If you're stuck, you can get advice for them. And some of the taxis have a three-way interpretation system, so you can actually speak to an English-speaking operator when you're, you know, negotiating the price.
Well, that's impressive, isn't it? Is there any sort of cultural guidance? In every country and culture, there's something that perhaps we do at home in Britain that would be a no-no elsewhere. Are there things that you shouldn't do in Korea?
Well, there are a few. For example, if you're sitting down to a meal amongst Koreans, one, you wait for the eldest member of the group to start first. Secondly, it's not advisable to sort of blow your nose at the table. That's something that is a bit of a no-no. You'll notice that drinks, you don't pour your own drink. You allow someone else to pour your drink, and it sort of creates this kind of daisy chain around the table. So these, you know, Korean food and cuisine and eating etiquette is incredibly important in South Korea. And so a lot of these no-nos or things you should be aware of revolve around, you know, the dining experience.
Are there any things for which Korea is famous in terms of souvenirs or items you might want to buy? Anything the country produces that people will go and buy and bring back because it's a bargain?
Yeah. The three things that certainly I've brought back in the past is, one is ginseng, either in tea form, in tablet form. It's the kind of high energy root that is both good for you, but it tastes pretty good, especially in the tea format. Also electronics, as you can imagine, you know, Korea's kind of living our future, but now all of the latest gadgetry is out there, and they have department stores full of electronics. So, you know, it's a good opportunity to go and find the latest brands, find the latest cameras, etc., and see if that's something that suits you.
Compared to, if you like, Western European or UK prices, how does it fare?
In terms of transportation and food, I would say it's a lot cheaper. I mean, Seoul's metro system is absolutely vast. Actually, there's one metro line that runs all the way to another city. For a one single ticket, you're paying around 1,100 won, which works out to be about 70p. Now, if you compare that with London's Underground, where you're paying £5.10, you get to an idea of the disparity. In terms of food, because there's such a diverse range of eating places, I mean, one thing I'd advise is, you know, maybe go for a lunch in some of the street food markets, where the food is good quality, you're eating like a local, and there's plenty of these little markets. One I can name is called Gwangjang Market, where all the locals go and sit in front of a chef who produces their food straight away for them. So, you know, you're looking at pounds for, you know, a good hearty meal.
And finally, what would you say would be the best time to go to Korea?
I would say spring and autumn are the best times of year. Spring, especially around cherry blossom time, is absolutely amazing. It's only a short window for the actual cherry blossom, but spring itself is just a beautiful time of year to go to Korea. July and August tend to be the humid months and slightly rainy, so we tend to say, you know, try and avoid those. But then in autumn as well, the sort of majestic colours of all the national parks, and the kind of clear air and dry weather make it an ideal sort of touring time to visit the country.
Rami, thank you.